For all of us, relationships are the most valuable things we have. We often wonder if those relationships will continue in heaven. What happens to a baby who dies at birth? What about aborted babies? Today, a look at how God will make all things right in our future heavenly home. For a message of comfort, stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current Running to Win series is all about what happens 1 minute after you die. In his fourth message, Dr. Lutzer is speaking on Welcome, You Have Arrived. And today, he's dealing with relationships, including our children.
Certainly, God will recreate them. They will have eternal bodies. There will be no limitation in heaven. We need not worry about that. Many women who have had abortions struggle with the question of how they will be reconciled to the little ones whom they aborted. God will make sure that reconciliation takes place so that throughout all of eternity, the matters that concerned us here on earth will be taken care of. And a child will be complete, will participate in the full blessings of all that God has prepared for them that love Him. And sometimes, those of you who have lost a little one, you say, well, why does God take a little child? And I've explained before how that when a shepherd wants to take the sheep to a part of the mountain, perhaps up a high precipice, where the sheep do not want to go, he will simply reach into the flock and take a little lamb, one on one arm and another one on the other, and then he will begin to walk. And as he does, the two mothers begin to follow the little lamb, and after they begin to walk along, the others reluctantly begin to follow too. And sometimes what God does is, he gives us little ones, and then he reminds us through their death of the fact that heaven is so real and it is the place where all of us are going. And the affection that we have for this world is lessened as we anticipate meeting on the other side. Remember that story of the man whose little one was buried in a cemetery, and only he and the minister went to the little grave. And it was a rainy, dismal day. And as the man was weeping over his little daughter who had died and whom they now tenderly laid away, he then took the key of the casket and gave it to the keeper of the cemetery. And the minister said, you know, you think that you've given the key of this casket to the keeper of the cemetery, but really that key is on the girdle of the Son of God, the one who has the keys of death and of Hades. And someday he will come and that casket will open and your little girl will be raised. Folks, that is the teaching of the Scriptures and that is our hope. Some things stay the same. The knowledge that we have, the love that we have, the interaction that we remember here on earth. Some things are different. Certainly our bodies are going to be radically different. But in the end, we shall be with Christ and be like Him. Let me make some very important conclusions. Number one, death, when you stop to think of it, is really not the enemy. It appears to be on this side of the curtain. This side of the curtain, mystery, yes. Fearful, yes. Entering, as the song says, that vast unknown. And you remember Hamlet wrestled with the possibility of suicide. And then he concluded that in that sleep of death, what dreams may come when we have shuffled off this mortal coil. And what he's saying is, we'd like to commit suicide, but the problem is we don't know what lies on the other side. It could be worse than what we're experiencing here. What lies on the other side for the believer, fearsome though death is, the fact that it is still our enemy, it ruptures relationships, it brings tears, it brings loneliness, it brings heartache. That's on this side of the curtain. On the other side of the curtain, happiness, bliss, being with Christ, being with Him forever. And by the way, those who do wish to commit suicide, always remember that what you encounter over there may indeed be far worse than it is here. Certainly there are believers who have done that, and they have, I believe, gone to glory. But it is a fearful thing to show up in heaven at your decision rather than the decision of Christ. Death for the believer, though, is indeed not a fearful event. We will all fear it, absolutely, because on this side, terror at times, but on the other side, bliss and joy. And of course, as we've emphasized, it is the means that God uses to take us to heaven. You see, the scripture says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. In other words, the way you are now, you can't go to heaven. Could you imagine being in a place that is eternal and having a corruptible body? And so you go to heaven as you are? That would be a really terrible, terrible experience. Here we are, we're in this wonderful eternal place, and here our bodies are aching and filled with pain and weakness. Impossible. So the way in which we inherit the kingdom is God comes for us, and the promise is a new resurrection, a body that fits in with the eternality of our heavenly home. Death, if we see it properly, is a friend on the other side of the curtain. Second, death is a bend in the road, but it is not the end of the road. It's just a bend in the road. Your consciousness continues from this part of life to the other. If you are conscious, of course, many people may not be on this side, but if you die in an accident, let us suppose you die very, very quickly, the consciousness just continues. There's a continual stream, and suddenly you are there, you're the same person, but you meet Christ and the angels, as we have explained. Do you remember that story of Dr. Sandhorn, a minister in Iowa? He went to visit this little girl who was dying one Saturday morning, and the little girl was there in the bed mumbling, and she said, "As soon as they open the gate, I will go in." And then she said a little while later, in discouragement, at least the tone of her voice seemed to indicate that, "They let Mamie go in ahead of me." And then a little while later, "They let Grandpa go in ahead of me." Well, the pastor left and returned a little later and discovered that the girl had died. But he was so interested in who was Mamie and who was Grandpa. So he got the family and he asked them, and he wanted to follow up. Mamie was a little girl that had lived with him there in Iowa but had moved to New York. And Grandpa was a friend of the family who lived in the Southwest. Pastor Sandhorn wrote letters to try to find out the whereabouts of those people and discovered that both of them had died that Saturday morning on September the 16th. How far is heaven away? Just as far as a heartbeat, boom, you're gone. Just as far as an accident. Just as far as that report from the doctor which says that you have 6 months to live, and it may turn out to be 3 years, but nonetheless, at the end of the road, you die. That's how close heaven is. How can Christ be with someone who dies in New York and Iowa and China at the same time? Do not ask me that question, because I do not have an answer. All that I know is that Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we did not comment on it, but that's why he speaks about not wanting to be unclothed, which is another hint that really he is looking forward to the resurrection to have his permanent body, and there is no intermediate body. But you'll notice it says, verse 6, "Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord." That's his preference. But nevertheless, he says, "We have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to please him. That's a choice that God makes. It's a choice that God makes. All of us want to live as long as we possibly can, but I want you to know today that when God's number strikes, when the clock comes to get you, if you're a believer in Christ, if you have embraced his promises, he will be there. He will be there to meet you, and all will be well. All will be well. Yesterday, some of us attended a symposium on the city, the changes taking place in the city of Chicago, the poverty, all of these issues that are so important. And it was very helpful for us to be there. But one of the things that we did not get a chance to emphasize is that it is a responsibility of the ministers not only to be involved in these issues, but to prepare men and women for eternity. There is a life to come. That you will die and stand before God is as certain as the sunrise. I wish I could say that everybody's going to be in heaven. No, Jesus said the way to heaven is narrow. Few there be that find it. Why? Because you have to admit your helplessness and your sinfulness and cleave to Christ. And people say, I don't want to do that. I'm a good person. Not realizing that many good persons will be in hell. And a message on hell is a part of this series. Let me ask you today, is your trust in Christ alone? Have you given up all hope of impressing him with your good deeds? Do you see how trivial they are in the presence of God? The Bible says that if you believe on him, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, in Christ. But those who die without him, it is so fearful, it is so fearful, we can scarcely speak about it. Think of Paul, think of Paul. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. To abide in the flesh is needful. To be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. Take a moment right now and think of some believer who has died. It may be a relative, it may be a friend. Maybe I'm speaking to someone today who has lost a loved one very recently, maybe a spouse, and you are in weeping and mourning. And that's understandable, and that is biblical. But I also want you to grasp that in eternity, those who have died, indeed, as I mentioned, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They are there with Jesus. And of course, later on in this series, we're going to be talking about the resurrection body, but also the state of those who have not yet been resurrected. So I conclude today simply by reminding you that when we leave this life as believers, we are in the presence of God. We do not have our eternal body yet, but we can communicate, we can connect, we can recognize others, and they can recognize us. What a surprise of blessing on the other side of the curtain.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. You've heard Dr. Erwin Lutzer concluding, "Welcome, you have arrived." The fourth message in his series, 1 Minute After You Die. If you've ever heard the song, The Holy City, you've heard about the New Jerusalem. That's what the Bible calls our future heavenly home. Next time on Running to Win, the details begin. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help all of us run the race of life to the very end and beyond. 1 Minute After You Die answers some of life's biggest questions. And this series can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3, or in Dr. Lutzer's full-length book. For complete information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Our website is at runningtowin.org. This is Dave McAllister. Don't miss tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.